Excellent. Well, good evening and welcome to Christmas Eve here at Hoboken Grace. If you haven't been with us for the past couple weeks here, let me just kind of introduce myself. My name is Chris. And for the last few Sundays here at Hoboken Grace, we've been looking at this incredible truth of Christmas, of how Jesus left home in order for us to be able to find home. And yesterday, we talked about how we can experience his love in that, and the incredible love that he shares with us in that. But as we come together tonight, I'm incredibly aware of the fact that love's kind of a tricky thing, isn't it? Love isn't actually subjective. Love is objective. It can actually be defined. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Jesus does as he steps into our story and as he's teaching is that he's trying to help us to understand what love actually is, that you can actually know it and understand it, and you can intentionally bring it to the world around you. He's trying to define it, and ultimately he does with his very life. But at the same time, there are these aspects of love that are uniquely experienced and are individual. We talk about this in terms of marriage here at Hoboken Grace in our marriage class. We talk about how you can love someone really well, but then they don't actually feel loved. And there are different reasons why that happens. For those of you who are watching the confetti fall from the ceiling right now, I see your eyes glancing upwards. The air conditioner just turned on, and yesterday was an amazing day. We saw four people declare their faith through baptism, and we kind of switched up our baptism celebration yesterday and went from champagne to confetti. And we love to celebrate here at Hoboken Grace, and we think we shouldn't just say that we're celebrating. We think that we actually should celebrate, and so that celebration may continue to fall throughout the evening here. We'll just enjoy it and embrace it. I mean, it's Christmas Eve, right? But love is. It's tricky because you can love someone, really well, and at the same time they don't feel loved at all. And sometimes that's because the way that you're showing love isn't the way that they receive love. But then there's another aspect to that too, and that is that sometimes our sense of love, sometimes our understanding of love, sometimes our idea of love that our feelings are connected to or tied to, it can be broken. It can be off. You experience this with children, because children don't have a mature idea of what love is, and so you can love a child really well, and they feel like you hate them. And you tell a child to go to bed, and you do it because you love them, but they're quite certain that you despise them and that you want nothing but harm for them. And you tell them to eat their vegetables and they're convinced 100%. There's not an ounce of feeling in them that thinks that you love them. They think that you hate them. And I may experience this tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, I shared this with the third service yesterday. My wife and I are trying something a little bit risky, because as we prepared for Christmas morning, we realized that our kids have far too many things, and to be honest with you, we live in Hoboken. We have nowhere to put any more things, and so we decided for Christmas to do something a little bit different. We decided to not really get any gifts. We're just going to take our kids somewhere that they really enjoy. I see on your face, you're like, "Oh, you're in trouble. You might die tomorrow morning." And all of it is motivated by the fact that we love them. But that may not be the experience. They may very well think that we despise them tomorrow morning. And if you hear wailing coming from the southwest corner of Hoboken, you'll know what happened. But it's true. It's not just that we don't necessarily experience love the way that someone else is. Sometimes our understanding of love and our sense of love, it can be off. It can be broken, and so sometimes we think that love is dangerous and it leads to really bad relationships in our life. or sometimes we think that love is abusive. There are all sorts of things that can lead to this in our lives. And oftentimes as we grow up, we mature out of that. But it's interesting how this doesn't just impact our relationships with other people, it drastically impacts our relationships with or our relationship with God. And it's amazing how often we can be in situations where we go to God and we think, well, if God loves me, then this is going to happen, or if God loves me, then he's going to give me this, and then God says no, and we're like, whoa. And we can begin to believe that, or maybe even begin to doubt whether or not God actually loves us at all. And we go to Bob and we go to God and we tell him, listen, God, I really want to marry Bob, or I want to marry Sue, and God says, well, they're not really the best thing for you. And sometimes he just says that to us and says, well, listen, I don't think that Sue's the right one, and I don't think that this is the direction that you should go in, and I don't really advise this. But then other times he steps in and he actually works so that it doesn't work out with Bob. And that's really hard, because it's hard to lose Bob. And in those moments, we can feel like God doesn't love us at all. Even though it might be one of the most loving moments of our lives. In my own experience as a dad, it's in some of my most loving moments with my kids that they feel the least loved. Because one of the struggles that every single one of us has, and one of the brokennesses, or part of what's broken in us, is that we don't really understand love for what it really is. And Jesus is trying to teach us this, and he's trying to help us to understand it. And one of the things that Jesus is trying to do in our lives over and over and over again is I don't know exactly how to phrase this. And as I was preparing for tonight, the best way that I could come up with it is this, is that he's constantly trying to get us to recalibrate our feelings of love. Do you remember when touch screens first came out and you had to recalibrate them? Most of you are too young for that, but like the older ones in the room, you remember what that was like. It was, you had to do it early on with like the handhelds. You had to do it every week, and it was constantly a problem because you'd touch the screen over here and it thought you were touching the screen over here somewhere, and you couldn't do anything with the screen at all. And the sense of touch on the screen, the feeling was it was all off, and so you had to realign it. And sometimes in life, I think that's what happens with us. Our feelings, they become disconnected from what's actually true. And so even though we're being loved really well, we don't feel like it at all. And one of the things that Jesus calls us to, and one of the things that Jesus is doing in our lives, is he's constantly trying to recalibrate. He's trying to recalibrate our feelings of love and to recalibrate how it is that we experience love. And he's doing this in our lives, but then he calls us to do this consistently as well. And he's saying, no, you have to tie your feelings to what's true, not just to what you feel. Now, our culture doesn't like this. This is the opposite of what our culture says. Our culture says, no, you need to recalibrate truth to your feelings. And God says, whoa, that's really, really destructive. If you act on your feelings, it can lead to some really bad things. Believe me, I was a first-time parent once, and your feelings, man, if you act on your feelings, that child is going to die. They will not make it. But God says, you have to recalibrate. And God's working to do this in our lives all the time. And he does that by calling us to trust him. You recalibrate your feelings by trusting him. But he doesn't call us to blindly trust him. This is a massive fallacy. This is a massive problem that we sometimes teach, that we think that God calls you to blindly trust him. Some of you walked in here tonight, that's what you think faith is. You think that faith is when you blindly trust God. Well, that couldn't be any further from the truth. God doesn't step into your life and ask you to trust him because he's God. He absolutely could, but he doesn't. He steps into your life and asks you to trust him because he's faithful. From the very beginning, he's done this. When he comes to Abraham, he says, you can trust me because of the fact that I'm faithful. And over and over again throughout history, he's been demonstrating his faithfulness. He says, you can trust me because I'm faithful. And all of these moments where he demonstrates his faithfulness, it's like he's recalibrating our feelings. He's saying, no, I know how you feel, but let me show you what's true. And I need to call that feeling back to what's true. Christmas is one of the most powerful moments of recalibration. Because you hear that passage that was in the video before I walked up, and the moment of Christmas is in a moment of incredible darkness, and everybody thinks that God has given up on them and God has forgotten about them, and everyone feels like God doesn't care about them at all, and God says, no. Right now, in the midst of this loneliness and in the midst of this darkness, I'm going to do one of the greatest things to express my love for you, and I'm going to be incredibly faithful. I told you I was going to come, and I'm coming, and I'm here. And you can trust me. You can trust me that I love you, even when sometimes your feelings, they begin to wander from that, and you begin to doubt that. Jesus' entire life is the recalibration and his faithfulness and his love as he's interacting with people. He's recalibrating, saying, no, this is what the Father is like. He says, no, you can trust me. Look at what's true. Tie your feelings to what's true. And then Jesus goes to the cross in what is probably the ultimate moment of recalibration. He says, no. No matter what you felt about me loving you, no matter whether you believed in it or whether you doubted it, this is the truth of how much I love you, and this is the truth of how much I would give for you, and this is the truth of how I want you to be a part of my family. And in these moments of incredible faithfulness, he calls us to recalibrate how we feel. And tonight we come together on Christmas Eve, and tomorrow we celebrate Christmas morning. This moment where he demonstrated his faithfulness. And as I come to you tonight, I want to challenge you to embrace the reality of what happened on Christmas morning and to allow it to recalibrate how you feel about God's love. Because some of you walked in here tonight and you walked in feeling very loved by God, but some of you walked in here tonight and you don't feel loved by God at all. It's not because you're not loved by God. And what I want for you to step into tonight is to look at the truth of how he has so powerfully loved you, and how he so powerfully loved you on Christmas morning when he decided to come for you. And to allow that faithfulness to change the way that you look at your current circumstance, to change the way that you look at your present moment. Because no matter how much your present moment wants to tell you that God doesn't love you, it's not true. It's not true. And we're not always going to understand how he works, and we're not always going to understand when he says yes and when he says no. We're not always going to understand that. And sometimes it's going to be hard. And our feelings immediately are going to say, God doesn't love me. But Christmas and the life of Christ and the cross, it calls us back to recalibrate those feelings, to tie them back to what's true, and to call ourselves back to the reality that, no, God amazingly and passionately loves me. There's actually a practice that Jesus gives us of what I'm referring to as recalibration. It's the passage that I want to take you to tonight. Jesus is almost coming to the end of his life, and Luke is trying to capture the story of Jesus' life, and he shares with us this moment near the end of Jesus' life, and it's a powerful moment. Jesus is establishing for his disciples something that they're going to practice over and over and over and over and over again. And if you look at it closely, what it is, it's a practice of recalibration. It's a recalibrating, okay, what is it that I believe about what's happening in my life right now, and what is it that I'm experiencing of God's love in my life right now? And this is how he does it. They're sitting down together for a meal. It's actually the Passover meal. And it says this. It says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is an amazing passage, because Jesus is saying, he's saying to his disciples, he's saying, you know, we're sitting down for this Passover meal, but the next time that I eat this meal, the whole meaning of the Passover is going to be fulfilled, because Jesus is the one who came to give his life for all of us, which is what the Passover had pointed to for years and generations. And he says, what we're celebrating tonight, I'm about to fulfill it right here. I'm about to fulfill it in just a moment. And then he continues, he says, then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. And again, he calls them to do that in remembrance of him. Jesus is coming to the end of his time with his disciples, and he says, I want to give you guys something. And there's something that I want for you to practice over and over and over again. Many of you know what I'm talking about. It's this thing that we call communion, or the Lord's Supper. He says, what I want for you to do is that on a consistent basis, as you come together, I want for you to take the time to be able to remember what it is that I've done for you. Well, why do I need to remember what it is that he's done for me? Why? Because it recalibrates me. Over and over again, it calls me back to the reality that I may feel this way, but the reality is this. And I may feel like God God has abandoned me right now, but the reality is that no. God left heaven to come for me, and he gave his life for me on that cross, and his body was shredded for me. His blood was poured out for me. Allows me to recalibrate my feelings back to what is true, so that I can not only be loved, but that I can experience his love. See, Jesus doesn't just want you to be loved by him. He wants you to experience his love. And so as he's speaking to his disciples, he says, I want for you to do this over and 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 over again, because your heart has a tendency to wander, and your feelings can get connected to lies, and these things can sneak in, and they can rob from you the experience of my love. And so I want you to come back to this table. He says, I want for you to get together and come back to this table time after time to remember what it is that I've done for you, to recalibrate, to bring your feelings back in line with the truth of just how loved you are. Tonight, as we come together, I want to invite you to do that based on two different things. One, I want to invite you to do that as we come back together to remember Christmas. That's what tonight is about. It's the remembrance of Christmas. What's the significance of that? Well, it allows us to recalibrate. But then also, I want to call you to actively remember not just Christmas, but also the cross. And here at Hoboken Grace, we always have communion tables throughout the room, and we invite people to take advantage of them on a weekly basis. And many of you do, but we don't usually direct you specifically to them. But tonight we want to do that a little bit differently. And in just a little bit, the band's going to come back on stage, and we're going to walk through two songs. And as we walk through those two songs, what I want for you to do, the first one is very much a song of reflection. And I invite you, as we walk through these two songs, first and foremost, to just sit. And no matter how you feel about God's love tonight, no matter how you feel about the circumstances in your life tonight, no matter, for you to be able to sit and to be able to reflect on the truth of Christmas, that Jesus left heaven for you. But not just the truth of Christmas, but also the truth of the cross. That Jesus left heaven because he planned to die for you. Because from the very first moment, he planned to be destroyed for you. For his blood to be shed for you. So that all that is broken about us and all that would keep us from the Father and the home that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, so that all of that would be eliminated. And so that you could forever and always know and experience his love. I want to invite you to reflect on that. And then as you're ready, you can go at any time. As you're ready to make your way to the tables around the room, you'll see they've got little candles on them with these really beautiful cutouts of Hoboken. It's amazing. I don't know who did that, but it's phenomenal. But to be able to make your way to those tables and to be able to take the cup and take the bread and to not just know that you're loved tonight, but to experience it, to celebrate it. May we, as we step into Christmas tomorrow, may we not just be loved by him, may we experience it to the fullest. And may he get the glory that he deserves in our lives. May we celebrate him the way that he deserves. May we thank him the way that he deserves, because we awaken to just how great it is. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you tonight with a recognition that sometimes our understanding, our sense, what our feelings of love are tied to is not, it's not true, it's not right, it's off, it's tainted, it's broken. But we also come to you knowing and realizing that you have over and over and over again faithfully proven your love to us, faithfully proven how you feel about us, faithfully and proven your pursuit of us, faithfully proven how far you have gone for us. And so, Father, as we walk into this next moment on this Christmas Eve, we want to take the time to attach our feelings to what it is that you've demonstrated. To once again recognize and to remember. To once again celebrate and embrace. You and your phenomenal love. You and how you went to that cross for us. You and how you came for us on that Christmas morning. You and how we can find and know the home that you've made possible. In Jesus' name, amen. As the band walks through this next song, or the next two songs, as you're ready, make your way to that table. Remember and allow it to recalibrate your experience of his love.